Did you know you can listen to the recording of this podcast live as it happens? Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn how.
You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Get it right, bitch.
Spoilers.
Spoiler warning!
I got to warn you, you're doomed to stay. Go. Go.
It is the time again. It is time for the Small Screen Spoiler Show. This is episode number 15. I am CJ. I want you to touch my face, but that guy over there, he's Jared. His gift is spinning really fast and collecting gold rings as a item.
Of course you'd make a Sonic reference, because we got to have Sonic in this somewhere if we want to SEO this podcast the proper way.
Exactly. Exactly. How are you tonight, sir?
I am feeling fine. A little sleepy, but fine.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. So, just as a reminder, every week we are here to spoil you. Rotten. Spoil you on shows this week. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 19, The Dirty Half Dozen. Gotham, Episode 21, The Anvil or the Hammer. And Daredevil, Episode 5 and 6, World on Fire and Condemned. If you have not watched those, and
what's wrong?
Exactly. And also, you don't want to be spoiled, you might want to come back later. Because we are not holding back at all. And in fact, we are going to roll right on into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Dirty Half Dozen, the Ultron prelude tie-in.
The prelude. The Man of Metal is coming. He would tear our cities apart.
That was great. But before we go further into what we think, we actually, as writ as of late, have me on the wrong folder, which is always normal. We have this.
When you put it in the folder, gotta put it in the folder.
In one of the most Whedon-esque episodes yet, an ex-Angel writer and an ex-Buffy Vampire Slayer writer team up to feed intelligent, zippy dialogue to a new team of Scoobies. The Dirty Half Dozen brings together the original six team members for a heist that needs two S.H.I.E.L.D. directors to pull off. But really, the storyline is just an excuse for great writing and enjoyable fight scenes. Also, Sonic the Hedgehog is now more clairvoyant than Private Hudson ever was.
So many Sonic references.
Oh my god. I never knew that Sky was such a Genesis freak.
I know. Let me just go ahead and kick that off my list since we've mentioned it twice now.
Sonic. Oh yeah, it was all over this for some unknown reason. But then again, yes, it's the Whedon. This episode was very, very Whedon.
You know, I didn't realize it at the time, but now that I've heard it out loud, yes, it really was.
Oh, there were all sorts of weird pop culture quips, fast dialogue, and it felt like watching a season 3-ish episode of Buffy.
Yeah, yeah. We're real heavy on the theme of forgiveness. And
yes.
Who gets forgiven and who doesn't.
Yeah, who deserves the like, right to be forgiven.
Betraying your whole team and killing a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. You don't get forgiven for that.
Yeah. But if you just happen to be tricked by Hydra and become a creepy plastic mask lady, I think you're all right.
Oh, should we go ahead and talk about her? Because
yeah.
she's a plant, right? She's a plant by Ward from the inside.
Totally. She's
That's not going to end well.
She's going to grab all of their informations she's going to grab all of the informations and run with them.
Just go ahead and put that out there.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not wrong. She's completely a plant. I didn't have any notes on this. I actually really, really liked this episode. I'm extremely tired, so pardon me for not being super excited about any of the episodes I really like, but I actually really enjoyed this one. It was very well paced, which seems to be at the written pace of season 2 so far, which is fast but not breakneck.
Yeah, that feels good. That was about right.
And that's the reason why when you get the slower episodes, it pulls back a lot, and it feels like it's almost a completely different show. So, yeah, I like the fact that you had the entire original team back. I kind of hated the fact they called it out, but then I remembered I was watching a Whedon show.
Yeah, I got it. Team's all back together. We're back. Yep. We're back to the team. And I'm sorry I did all those terrible things, but I have mommy and daddy issues and... Wait, no, whatever, dude.
Yeah. You were a monster. You dumped your... I screamed at the television. I watched this. I actually watched this.
What, dumping us in the ocean for dead?
Yeah, you dumped two of your teammates into the ocean for dead, one of which is still not recovered mentally at all. Like, he was going to sacrifice himself because of you to save Gemma, and he is still not right in the head because of you. So no, you don't get forgiven. You're a freaking monster. You deserve to be shot.
Yes, and Sky even said it. I'm so glad I shot you.
next time, aim for the head. I love the continuity tie-ins together on this. Just tying the show, which sometimes can seem like a series of vignettes pushed together as a fully fluid thing that is finally becoming its own and has been renewed for a third season.
Indeed. It gets better. It just keeps getting better. I'm feeling it. And I liked how it wasn't, at least not in this episode, wasn't like super hard tie-in to Age of Ultron. Next episode, maybe. I don't know.
Oh,
we'll see.
Oh yeah. I
you already watched it?
Not all of it. Not all. I was half asleep, passing in and out of sleep on the couch, and it was on. So I caught a bunch of, not all of it, just kind of what they say. But oh yeah, it doesn't do what they, at least not that I could tell, it doesn't do what they did with Captain America last year, like tell you the entire point.
Yeah.
like the Winter Soldier tie-in, they basically told you the last 15-20 minutes of the movie.
The last act of Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I mean, well, they didn't really have a choice in the matter because S.H.I.E.L.D. was kind of very intensely influenced by the events of Winter Soldier.
Yes. Actually, the way that they tied it in actually made me a little bit more grumpy at Age of Ultron. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Rachel's agreeing with me.
Little mention of Ultron. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah, that's okay. Well, we'll get into it next week. We'll see how it feels.
Yeah.
And Ultron will be 2 weeks old by then, so it won't be as bad if we spoil everything about them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Rachel gave it as a person who has not seen Age of Ultron yet, so she's happy at the fact that they have not spoiled Age of Ultron.
I just like that, you know, basically the main mission in this is to bust in there and save the Mike Deathlok and Inhuman Gambit.
Yeah, and Deathlok and Gambit.
Which, wow. I didn't know Sky had heart restarting powers. That was convenient.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those, we're gonna stretch this power a little bit further than its logical end. Like, Inhuman Gambit, completely understand. Her power is adjusting vibrations. I don't know how that can restart somebody's heart.
You can vibrate somebody's heart enough to make it start going again, maybe? I don't know. But
I
mean, sure.
I could try and pseudoscience it, but I'm too tired to try and do that crap.
Yeah, I was like, what? That's the only moment that kind of took me out. I was like, that was a little too convenient. But I guess the Oracle told her that she had to do it. And then, you know, Phil Coulson sneaks in, and he's got a secondary mission, which is finding out where the scepter is located,
yes.
Which is the beginning of Age of Ultron.
Yep, that is literally like, that last 5 minutes is something
so I like that
be put in the front of Age
it's
of Ultron.
Nice, it's a nice little piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, this is Loki Pokey Stick.
The Loki Pokey Stick. This is how they know where it is.
Yes.
Good old Coulson.
Oh, yeah. I'm out of notes at this point for this. Not because I didn't like it, but again, because I really, really liked it.
Yeah, well, I have some, but I don't remember what they all mean. Because this is the first one I watched, and I watched it Friday, I think, because I wanted to watch it before I went and saw
Age of
Ultron.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, yeah, definitely.
So I made a point of doing that, and I've watched, you know, Age of Ultron, the two Daredevils, and a Gotham since then, so... It's a little blurry up here.
Yeah, right.
My first note is Knockout Ray. I don't know what that is. What is a Knockout Ray? Who knocked out somebody with a ray? Anyone?
I have no idea. See, I love the fact that the best thing I love about this show is the fact that Daryl plays the part of you on the Geek.io show.
Yeah, I know. He really fills in the gaps. And sometimes they'll come back to me, but there's just too much. My short-term memory is not as strong. Poor Bakshi. Poor Bakshi.
Not poor Bakshi, but yep, he got what was coming to him. That was a great little bomb, too, that she made. That was actually really wicked.
Yeah, those are the ones from earlier that they made from the stuff from the first season. Those are those leftover bombs. Because, you know, Hydra had them, and they went in and killed like the whole United Nation pulse with it or whatever.
Right.
You know, so they were Hydra-designed things, and I guess they still have some leftover.
Good enough to bury into a little weasel and make him explode.
Dust him like the vampire.
Yep. Hey, another Buffy combat.
There you go. Oracle of Go-Go.
Yep, full swing Oracle, man.
Reyna's full Oracle now, and she knows it.
Oh, yeah.
Because she actually saw it. Wait a minute. I can see the future.
Which is dumb. So dumb.
That's okay. I don't mind an Oracle. At least she has some power.
Yeah, but they're making her almost omnipotent. At this point, she's going to have to get taken down to Peg or 7.
Yes, can they change future? That's the important part.
Exactly. Is this a future or the future?
Hot Pocket.
Yeah, Hot Pocket call out. I should hate that last Hot Pocket.
Okay, was that what it was? Cause I
yeah, it was Coulson in the
I know it was just
playing.
Some kind of silly quip.
But yeah, it was Coulson in the playing, complaining that he shouldn't eat in that last Hot Pocket as they were plummeting.
Man, that whole thing. It's a shame they blew up their plane. It was a nice plane.
It was a very nice plane.
I don't think Fury will build him another one.
Mm-mm.
The bus is gone.
No. Like you said.
Rad fight scene.
Oh, yeah. Some really good fight scenes in this episode.
Usually it's pretty solid choreography. And then they gave Sky, like, awesome, cool things to do.
They're,
like, gun ninja-ing people and then running out of bullets and, like, kicking somebody's gun out of their hand, stealing their bullets, and then shooting them with their own bullets.
It's clear that she's been training under May. Like, seriously, it's obvious that she took her training under May and Mockingbird very seriously.
Yes, that was some very, very nice
I like her fight
choreography.
Lot more. Like, they have given her a role, and she's
much less annoying.
But the best part is that she's finally becoming herself as an actress. So she's like as a person, Sky is not as annoying as she was. She's still plenty annoying.
She's annoying, but she's getting better.
Yeah, she's almost Wesley level for me.
Wesley, which one?
Angel Wesley.
Angel Wesley. Okay.
Daredevil Wesley's cool.
You don't like Angel Wesley?
No, I really don't.
What?
No.
What?
No.
Oh my. Okay. We don't need to go down that path.
He wasn't designed to be a likable character, but
But I still liked him, even if he was a bit annoying and over the top.
Exactly. But he brought the smart, and I liked that.
Yes, that's why I liked him,
and that's why I said she's almost that level with me.
And we want to, we want him to be annoying and over the top, and then his British accent takes it back down to where it doesn't bother you so much.
And then Spike comes in and starts talking in his faked British accent, and you want to. All right.
And Avengers tie in a go-go.
Yes. Oh yeah, the Loki pokey stick.
Yeah, Loki pokey stick, and then Reyna.
Yep,
foreseeing Ultron, a man of metal. He will tear our cities apart and the world will change forever.
Yeah, actually, you're not wrong.
Well, he only tore one city apart.
No. Well, he directly tore apart.
Yeah. There was another city torn apart.
He tore apart two. himself. Yeah, one in Korea and one in Eastern Europe.
Slakovia?
Yeah, Slakovia. And then the other one was technically his fault, but I'm not getting into that.
It was indirectly his fault.
No, it was directly his fault.
Well, it was directly his fault.
This was not. It may have been a agent of an agent, but it was his fault. All right, you know what's up next?
What is up next?
Anvil over Hammer. The ogre breaks down Barbara's emotions while a pre-mustached Gordon tracks him down. Meanwhile, Penguin leads a massacre, beginning a probably not particularly epic war. To justify being Batman, a still annoying Bruce Wayne learns the truth about Stark Industries. And in case none of those plots are interesting, Nygma is dealing with some stuff.
And random cutoff.
Yay, Sam.
Did he just say Nygma?
Nygma.
He did, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Nygma's Breaking Bad.
Oh, the Enigma part was actually probably one of the more interesting parts of that.
Oh, no, I actually really liked this episode. Like, I enjoyed this episode. I was really rooting for the bad guys, though, yeah. Which I don't think I should have been.
Suitcases full of body parts down to the crime lab to dispose of them.
Nobody noticed.
Yeah, nobody noticed him bringing those in. And then, oh, my, what happened to him? Accidental death. Which was almost your nickname. Accidental death.
Nice. I left my notes at work for this one, so I don't have any notes.
Oh, no. Well, then we'll see if what I can jar your brain with here.
I just watched this Sunday, so it's still pretty fresh in my mind.
Yeah, I watched it last night. So, accidental death. Nobody, no crime. As long as we're on Enigma. And let's see if I got any other Enigma notes. Nope.
Enigma notes.
But I did like his little, speaking of Enigma notes.
Yeah, his literal Enigma notes.
His literal Enigma note at the end. That made me happy.
Yeah.
Read between the lines.
He slipped it over. He was like, yeah, Riddler stuff. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah, baby. Love the Riddler. You'll notice something, like, and I don't know if you've caught on to it, but, well, to you as in co-host, not you as in who I talk to all the time, have noticed that I like people who think and have thought out plans and make me think about things. And even if it's stupid stuff like that, Riddler, like, those stupid little Riddler things are great to me.
Yeah, I appreciate him too. I like a well thought out plan, so I guess that's why we like Kingpin too.
Yes.
More on that later. So one of my first notes here is I don't care what happens to Barbara. I don't care.
I was really hoping he was going to kill her. I wanted her dead. She is so bad. Like,
I didn't want
please,
her dead. I
Gotham,
want her to
recast her. For the love of God, recast her.
I just
my
want her.
God.
No, I think she's clearly being set up to be the next villain of some sort.
Parents are dead, though, right?
Yeah.
He did off the parents.
They were throat slashed.
Okay. I thought so. Just wanted to make sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're dead. They're definitely dead. But I don't know. I was thinking more of it of, you know, she sees what he is and is like, yeah, I'm gonna be a villain too. Let's go be evil together and then have Jim have to kill her or whatever. But no, we're going to make her less interesting.
Again.
Sometimes she's crazy, and sometimes she's just dumb.
Stupid. Yeah.
Sometimes she's something else, and we don't know what to do with her. So we'll do it the hard way.
Yep. Yeah.
But I don't know, because clearly she had snapped at the end, so I feel like there's something.
Yeah, there's no going back at this point.
Something setting up for her. I don't know.
Yeah, the thing is
she's going to be a known villain, or
if they turn her into a villain, they would have to either kind of reinvent a known villain or create a new one. Either way, I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards create because I don't know who she would.
They would have to take somebody and put her into their place, and like going over the female Batman villains, like they're pretty much all covered.
Yeah, like I read some theory somewhere about Harley Quinn, and like, no, she's too old. She can't be Harley Quinn. I don't know.
I mean, she might be a Harley Quinn like kind of lookalike or kind of like predecessor, but
yeah, maybe someone who inspires.
I mean, she
Harley
might
Quinn.
Even call herself the Harley Quinn, but it's not going to be that Harley Quinn.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, we've got our Joker in there. He hasn't come back yet, but
he will. That was
he will.
We mentioned that at the time. It was a hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We weren't sure if we're gonna get recorded for renew for season two, but hey, we have a Joker.
Hey, look, we got a Joker. Don't you want another season so we can see what we do with this Joker we have? Pretty nice. Oh, and Lucius Fox.
Yeah.
Lucius Fox.
I'm like, oh, yeah, man. Morgan Freeman's up in this piece.
He looked familiar, but I couldn't place him. Ooh. I think he just looks like Falcon.
Yeah, he kind of does. He does kind of look like Sam Wilson.
Sam Wilson, thank you.
He has the same
facial hair.
Yeah, I liked the
shape.
Yeah, I do like his character. He's a really cool character and like sets up a good, hey, this is obviously Batman's friend kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that. He's like the good guy, pretending that he's not, you know, he's playing along, but he's got something going on the side.
Okay,
he
is Chris Chalk, by the way, and he was in 12 Chris Years a Slave and The Newsroom, if you are into either of those.
I have not seen either of those.
All right, well, those are the two main roles that he was in.
Okay. I like it. I'm happy to see him here, and I want more of him. I hope we get lots more of him.
He's been casted as in season two. Has been up in, who's he in Rent? Hold on, wait a second. I'm interested. One moment.
Do 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 do. CJ makes the Rent connection.
Oh, okay. Well, he can sing because he is the street vendor who sells coats in Rent. Well, that sounds like a ridiculous thing. It's actually a pretty pivotal person. For a three-line person, a pretty pivotal person. So, he can sing because he sang in that part, so there's that.
Indeed. And Bruce was, speaking of Bruce, he was a little less annoying in this episode. Still annoying, but...
He didn't talk much in this episode.
No. It's mostly just adults yelling at him.
Yeah.
Well, I did enjoy the conversation with Alfred.
Yeah.
Okay, I was completely honest with you. He went and we hunted him down. Did you now? Anything else? Well, Selena kind of pushed him out of a window. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he just seemed like, all right,
why did she do that? Why did she do that? He was going to go tell his people, thing.
He literally acted like a drunk 12-year-old, so, you know, we killed him. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, well, I guess he had it coming.
Yep. He definitely had that coming.
He never saw me coming. Next note is Harvey, he doesn't clean up very well.
No, he really doesn't. They made a big deal about him getting in that suit, and like he came and still looking like a
dork. My hair back, and I was like, man, you do not clean up well.
I loved that scene, though. It was the greatest thing ever. I laughed so hard. GGCPD! Everybody stop, especially you!
It's like, all right, now it's time for the tonight's entertainment. You hear, like, animal noises. Mm-hmm. Oh, hell no.
That was so amazing.
GGCPD, you'll stop right now.
Yeah, I watched that scene a couple of times, actually, because he
looked intense for Harvey.
He squeaked like a 12-year-old. Old boy, like it was great. His voice cracked and he's like fumbling for his badge. It was amazing. So good. Yes. Donnell Loge continues to be the best thing in Gotham.
He is good. I did enjoy that. Made me laugh.
Do we think that Gordon is going to have any repercussions for shooting the ogre in the face?
For shooting the ogre in the face? Nah.
Well, I mean, both internal and external.
Oh, like, he's going to feel bad about that?
Yeah.
Mm. If this was another show besides Gotham, I would say yeah, but
this is true.
I don't really see Gotham going down that path.
I mean, I think it might actually, like, align him a little bit more towards good, but you remember, he's a police officer. Like, he's not Batman. He doesn't have that we don't kill rule.
Right. I don't expect it to bother him too much, since he was, a serial killer who had killed, like, 20 people.
Yeah. And
he probably won't feel too bad about it.
Ex-girlfriend, like, tied up and ready to kill her.
Yeah, that too.
That was a pretty good scene. Like, speaking of scenes, by the way, the ninja, back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really quick, the ninja sky thing, all like a good 45 seconds to a minute one-shot fight scene.
Yes,
and I'm like, yeah, love that.
Single shot.
Oh, yeah.
Then I noticed, I was like, oh, wait, this is a single shot. And then it, you know, like right after I noticed it, it stopped.
Yeah. They didn't do a True Detective. Oh. It was great seeing like almost a minute of a single shot fight scene in S.H.I.E.L.D.
It was not Daredevil.
No.
But it was there, and I appreciated it.
Yeah.
And it was a cool fight scene. Cause,
yeah.
You know, I see sweet ninja moves.
Indeed. I did like on Gotham, I did like the choreography of how this went down. It wasn't the stereotypical way of doing things, but
yeah.
I really liked how it was done.
Indeed.
So,
still no fish.
Nope.
So I was right, she's going to be in the finale.
Yeah, but I'm right by because... saying that she's going to die in the next episode, she said.
I saw the
yay,
next
both
time
of us
on.
Being right.
I saw the next time on, so I think I know how she dies.
Fair enough.
Seemed pretty clear.
Yeah. But the next week is the finale for your Gotham.
Yes. Gotham is over.
Yep, we got three more weeks of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Two more weeks,
yeah, because they're going to do a two-hour finale.
One more episode and then a two-hour finale, which I know you love.
Yeah. That one's gonna be
yeah, rough. It's okay.
Yeah.
It may still be awesome.
Yeah, never know.
You never know. My only other note is it feels good to be a gangster.
Yeah, that was. I did like the bar scene. That was actually pretty. That was pretty cool gangster
pretty
scene.
Godfather, well, directly lifted from Godfather-esque.
Yeah.
But
and you know? Penguin being the plotter, I love it. Like that was.
Yes,
I'm like,
I
yeah,
like it.
There you go.
Plotter. He's that's what he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him bumbling around.
Well, you notice he only bumbles around when he's doing the dirty work. Like when he's doing the correct penguin thing, he's really good at it.
This is true. This
but
is true.
But whenever he has to directly get his hands dirty, he's horrible.
So yes, he started a war.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah, he did.
So let's get busy.
All right. Anything else on Gotham?
Nah, man. Just feels good to be a gangster.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. All right, now on to...
Blood on fire. Batman, way back to the trolls. House control of Gotham City. Does the Gotham team want to do some lawyering? Does a man in black pajamas
get to
the
face again?
The dirty half does railway. Yeah,
two or three things.
It shows the writer's director paying attention to a...
Daryl, you edited that wrong, dude. I don't know what the hell just happened there.
That was only one file?
Yeah.
Sounded like two intros playing at the same time.
No, it's the one file.
I guess he wants us to be Daredevil and able to distinguish between the two.
All right, World on Fire, the episode where we finally get to see Murdoch's weird sonar vision.
Yes, which kind of made me sad, I'm not going to lie.
He just kind of wanted it to be there, not ever
just,
be seen.
I didn't want him to ever show it.
Yeah.
But then, let me just go ahead and say this about this episode. Until the last 5 minutes or so, I was ready to jump on the CJ train for this episode.
Which is so weird because I really like this episode.
It's kind of meh. Like, it's okay. Like, we're going to spend like 10 minutes describing how my powers work. Oh, come on. This is like the fifth episode. We don't know how your powers work. You don't have to go into details. And then we have like this weird, what is it? We're gonna have the love story with the Rosario Dawson startup, and
yep.
We're gonna do all these trope. We're gonna go down our trope checklist and just start filling them in. I was like, man, you guys have been doing so good, and now, it just feels like you're doing it by the book. I don't like.
I liked this episode because it was a lot more Fisk, and you get to see more into the manias that he goes into. And again, I like analyzing people, and, you know, when it's just a person punching people to punch them versus a person who honestly is, you know, chalk it up either to good writing for that part or Vincent D'Onofrio or both. Like, Kingpin is just, he's the best thing about the show. And the more time that he gets to spend, even if it is in a, you know, in a, just a restaurant, not doing much, I love that because you can see him progress through that
right.
dinner
and
from
that's...
the bumbling, like, it's clear
yeah,
he has...
gets to the point where he doesn't feel like he's having to put on airs and he can just be honest
mm-hmm.
or whatever in himself and that she's going to accept him that way.
Yep.
Like, that's the part, like, that's where it started getting good was the restaurant scene when that shifted, you know, when it went from we're just talking back and forth to him saying, so why do you have a gun in your purse?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the turning point for me. From that point, for the rest of the episode, fantastic. But up to that point, I just was like, meh. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just very meh.
Yeah, something, like, I noticed in these
like
two episodes.
Foggy walks
is...
into the big law firm, whatever, and the woman comes up and they're
smoking
having their thing
out
back and forth.
Trope.
Yeah, I was like, oh, she's an ex-girlfriend of Foggy.
Yeah.
Like, the second she walked up, before she even started talking.
Yep.
Like, so I mean, just like, trope. But, yeah.
Which is exactly the reason why I didn't like episodes 1, 2, or 3.
But they didn't feel that way. At least
oh,
not
yes,
as much
they
as this
did.
One.
God, yes, they did. It was just more punching troping and less talking tropes.
Which, I guess I don't mind punching tropes. Punching tropes don't bother me.
And I don't mind talking tropes. Like
just when I can see, when I know how every aspect of the scene is going to play out, I get bored because I know what's going to happen.
I'm the same way with the first 3 episodes, where I'm like, if I'm able to piece together everything, it's boring to me.
Yeah. And it was just, you know, so many tropes. But, like I said, the gun in the purse moment, from that point on, the scene, the whole episode changed, and then it felt right. Things felt good. And then, you know, kaboom.
Yes, bo.
Oh, crap. And then he sees the world on fire. And then you make the connection, and then they bring it back to the beginning. Daredevil sees the world on fire. Fist sees the world on fire. And we have this connection, and it all...
Yep. Uh-oh. Did I lose Jazz? I lost Jazz. I completely agree that, you know, seeing that connection between the two allows that that virtual bridge to be built. And that's something that you need in a hero and villain kind of thing. And I actually heard an interesting theory about they're right, Daredevil is an origin story, but not for Daredevil. It is simultaneous origin story of the Defenders in general and Kingpin, Daredevil is kind of the glue that ties it all together.
Indy, I'm sorry I dropped off. It said your call ended because your computer went to sleep. What?
Right?
I don't think so. Everything seems to be running fine. So settle down, Google Hangouts. What was I ranting about? Fire connection.
Yeah, and I just rambled on a little bit more about it.
That's fine. So, I like my head where it's at. That was their accountant dude.
Yeah.
And washing the car. Yep. I like when things carry over.
Yes.
Like when they do callbacks to things. So, like, you know, Daredevil has bruises and cuts all over him because he, you know, just spent all night fighting, like, 30 dudes.
Yeah,
and he's still injured in the next episode. And people are like, what the crap happened to you? You know, he's not just magically healed. I like stuff like that. I like that they take the moment here to hose the brains and blood off of the door of the car and do the little callback to, yeah, that happened. And now everybody's standing around like, what?
Well, I mean, it's kind of needed to be explained. I mean, he got his head chopped off with a car door.
Yeah. So I like, you know, I like continuity, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Continuity is good, especially in episodic content.
Oh, yeah. And cab scene. Oh, the cab scene. Right. The little, was that a single shot? Or it's just inside of the cab and it spins around and every time it made a revolution, somebody was... That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Like I said, I really liked this episode. I like the fact that they did not go the easy route with killing off Foggy and or Karen in the explosion and actually giving them a chance to be heroes.
Yes, I did like that.
Because it could have easily did that stupid trope of best friend being killed, but I'm glad they didn't.
No. They don't. Does Foggy die? Is that going to happen? I don't want that to happen.
No, that doesn't. Not in the books. Foggy's alive forever, but that's not saying that it's not going to happen in this universe.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed all the Foggy stuff, him being the good guy and helping out the lady, fixing her plumbing. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you're just a good guy.
But when the explosions happen, I'm like, the explosions happen, I'm like, yep, oh no, here we go. Foggy's going to die. But he didn't.
Nope.
That made me happy.
Yeah, we can just flow right into the next episode, I suppose. But the only other note is, I want you to touch my face.
Weird. That was so weird.
I know it was supposed to be, I don't know what it was supposed to be, but it felt weird to me. Okay.
All right, let's see if this does weirdness.
Condemned. Batman finds himself trapped in the fallout of Joker's plan to take control of Gotham City. Vicky Vale digs closer to the truth.
Thanks, Errol.
I see what you're doing there, Daryl.
Following my lead, like you should, because this was totally Batman. I'm really bored on this episode, so you go ahead and do your thing.
Oh, really?
Like this episode at all?
Gonna swap back. Oh man, I love
not like this episode. Like this was like episode two where I enjoyed it, but man, just the whole thing with Vladimir took too damn long. And
it did bother me that this entire episode he's Daredevil. There was no Matt Murdock whatsoever. But at the same time, I like the kind of episodes where they take the hero and somebody else, you know, this case Vladimir or something, and they trap them inside of a, you know, in this case a warehouse or a room, you know, like they did with Walter White and Jesse Pinkman. They trap him in the lab with the fly.
Yep.
And they spend a whole episode just them two kind of working it out with stuff going, you know, in that case there was nothing going on the outside, but this one they've got them, you know, trapped in this warehouse dealing with each other as all hell breaks loose outside.
Like he woke him up and I'm like, yep, Vladimir, I called this 5 minutes in. I go, Vladimir's going to create a noble sacrifice. It is a noble sacrifice trope that always freaking happens.
Yeah. I saw that coming too. But that was fine. I really didn't matter. But I liked the whole process of him winning him over. Like, you know, he won't kill them.
Just
like, really? You're not going to kill me? You won't even let me sit here and die. And even doing improvised medical with Flair.
Yeah, that was great. That one I'll give. But how did he like smell
like
the...
Is he going to scream? Is it like from pain or shock? He's like, a little bit of a... It's like, is it going to hurt? Yes. Yes, a lot. Like, you don't have to sound like you're enjoying this so much. Like, sorry.
Right?
Sorry, he had the crap beaten out of me.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't like on this one is how was he able to... Did he, like, smell the road flares or what? Because that was a little weird they could exactly call out two road flares. I don't understand that one.
He said what was in the room.
Yeah.
He was like, there's this, a road kit.
Okay.
He's like,
nail, he red called players? Out nails, like there was nobody's business. I'm like, nails don't, nothing has moved that would make you think that there are nails. Like, nothing in there should tell you that there's nails. And then the wooden glass, obviously, because explosion. And, like, he said two road flares. I'm like, what? How can you tell there's two? That's like Sky resuscitating somebody. That's a little too far. That's stretching that power scheme a little too thin for my liking. But this is more punchy tropes. And even though it was, like, more, like, all right, the cop, I'm like, all right, cop's going to turn him in. He's going to, like, I called the entire episode, like, before I even saw it. It was ridiculous, and I hate that.
I didn't call all of it, but I did call a fair amount. But I still, I don't know, maybe I was in a better mood when I watched this episode, I don't know. But I really did like this one a lot. I enjoyed their back and forth and exploring his, you know, their different sides. And then we have finally have Daredevil and Kingpin talk to each other.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
We're the same, you and I. We want the same thing.
What has saved the city?
And then Vladimir, you know, did the ultimate call out thing of, it's like, you're gonna have to kill him. I don't kill people. Like, dude, <It's> like, you're gonna have to.
Yeah.
If you want to stop him, you gotta kill him.
He owns the cops. He owns the judges. You're gonna have to do something.
Yeah, yeah. Let the police do their jobs. It's what I pay them to do.
Yeah,
it's what I pay them for. But I know that's not an original trope because they did the same thing. Like, my favorite example of that is in Avatar: The Last Airbender. Like, where he spends the last few episodes before he goes to take on the Fire Nation dude. Spoiler alert, everybody. Because everyone's like, it's like, you're going to have to kill this guy. I'm an airbender. I was raised this way. I cannot hurt. I cannot take another human life, period. It's like, but you're the Avatar. It's your job. You got to kill this guy because he's destroying the whole world.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And he even goes, like, to some meditation thing. I don't remember the whole thing. And starts talking to, like, previous
the Avatar stay, yeah.
And they're all like, yeah, you gotta kill this guy. And he even gets to, like, goes through and gets to the previous airbending Avatar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you gotta kill this guy. Like, but you're like me. We don't kill people. He's like, I know, but you're the Avatar. It's your responsibility. You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta kill this guy. And, of course, in the end, he ultimately figures out how to not kill that guy. Spoiler alert, but that's several years old, so get over yourselves, people.
Right. That'll probably something like that'll happen here. Like, he'll find the one uncorrupt judge and...
I don't know. Or Kingpin will just escape and start something else.
You'll never catch me.
You'll never catch me, Daredevil!
This is very clear. This was a bridge into Act 2, and the bridges between acts are typically the weakest episodes, or some of the weakest episodes in any given series. We had this discussion with S.H.I.E.L.D., the bridge to Act 2, the bridge to Act 3 was really weak. In Gotham, the bridge between Act 1 and Act 2 was super weak. And in this, it's kind of like, all right, we ended Act 1 with the explosions, and now we have to somehow push it towards Act 2.
Yeah, because we got Daredevil being painted as the bad guy. So he'll have to redeem himself somehow, maybe.
The hero the city may not want but needs, blah, 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 Batman, Batman, Batman.
Batman, 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 Batman. I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, he does get knocked out a lot, though.
Yes.
Much more than Vampire. Like, I swear, like, at least once an episode, he's out on the ground, just flat out knocked out and waking up from being knocked out.
Yeah, right.
Luckily, there's no one else ever around so that he can lay there for 10 minutes to an hour, however long, and wake up.
Right. I do like the fact that, like, and one thing I'll give Age of Ultron, it did not make it to New York City again, so they don't have to rewrite things for the TV shows. Ah, crap. New York City got blown up again. Jesus Christ.
And nothing being shot in Slokovia. So I think we're
so far.
However you say that city. Whatever it was. Random Eastern European city.
Yeah, right.
Like, let's pick a city that won't affect anywhere else in the MCU.
Exactly.
We can take a 10-mile chunk out of it. Oh, crap. I'm spoiling Age of Ultron.
Good job.
Sorry.
Sorry.
All right, anything else? Ultron does something terrible.
He tries to usher in an age of some kind, a new age of some kind, that may or may not be of Ultron. All right, anything else on Bat-Devil?
Nothing on Bat-Devil. Let's see. That was a bad idea, but it was fun. That made me laugh.
Yeah.
And he, like, tackles him, and they fall 3 or 4 stories into the basement. Mm-hmm. That was a bad idea. But it was fun. Why won't you let me die? Why must you do the CPR trope and bring me back to life? Oh, man, are we still doing the CPR trope? Come on.
Totally do the CPR trope.
No, you can't bring people back to life with CPR, right?
Yeah, if they're dead, is that going to work? No.
Come on. Like, it should have ended with Lost, okay? Lost did it like 2 or 3 times.
Good Lord.
You need to let go of the CPR trope, please. And that handcuff fight was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I was interested. I'm like, all right, how is he going to escape the cops? Is like somebody going to magically hit the cops with something, or is there going to be another explosion?
Is there
going
to be something happen to like distract them for just enough time for him to slip away? But no, he's just going to let them
kick their asses.
That
works. Too. Something was going to happen.
And then we got Yurik doing some stuff.
Yep. So and that sniper killing the bad sniper killing the cops. To paint Daredevil. Oh my god. So much Batman. Alright, speaking of so much stuff, here's another lantern. So
tonight to hang a lantern on it comes from way back in episode 1, where CG established she likes this trope. Is the continuity knot, and all 3 of this week's shows are drenched in this trope. A continuity knot is usually a throwaway or non-plot specific reference that shows the writers are actually paying attention to established history. It can be a nice gesture to red-shirted continuity nerds in the audience, as well as a convenient way to keep the universe feeling alive and internally consistent. Daredevil uses this to remind us that it is part of the MCU, even though Netflix has it. Gotham uses it to justify the expense of licensing Batman. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. uses it to remind us there is, in fact, a living, breathing universe between the billion-dollar blockbusters. In this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's not only a nod to the original 6 team members from the first season, but also a flash-forward to the events of Age of Ultron. It's also amusing that Americans can't catch a break, since not only did we Brits get to see Age of Ultron first, but so did Rainer.
You suck so much.
Shut your dirty mouth.
All right. So if you want to submit your own segment, like Hang a Lantern on It, send us an MP3 attachment less than 90 seconds to geekioshow@gmail.com, or you can call us 727-489-4335, 727-489-GEEK. I find it great that we mentioned that and called out the continuity nod and me liking the continuity nod in this episode before that came on.
Indeed.
All right, and before we go into the challenge shows, I want to thank you guys so much. We've actually been nominated for a Parsec Award for this year. More information on that later, to be given out at Dragon Con 2015. I'm going to do some poring over this and do some proper editing and stuff like that and give us the best shot that we possibly can. Thank you so much for nominating us. I really appreciate it.
Me too. It's cool of you guys. I don't know who did it, but thanks for nominating us. It means a lot.
Yeah.
Somebody's listening, for one.
Yeah, right?
Because, I mean, even if no one was listening, me and CJ would still have these discussions, so...
Yeah, pretty much.
We're just recording these for posterity.
Yeah, basically.
And apparently somebody's listening, so thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love you guys.
Thank you so much, really. It does mean a lot. Yes. All right, on to the challenge shows, where we kind of go outside of the week-by-week continuity and talk about shows that we want each other to watch. Did you watch any Arrow?
No.
Okay.
I watched Age of Ultron and some other things instead. Maybe next week.
Yeah, it's fine. All right, so I'm not going to go into the in-depth, like, half-hour kind of spiel that I originally thought I was going to go to about Sherlock Season 2, Episode 3. That was insane. That entire episode was absolute madness. And I rewatched it again on Saturday, and it kind of made me, like, just kind of wanting to absorb it more than want to actually talk about it.
I really, really... It's my second favorite episode. I still love the woman, whatever episode. Scandal and Bulgaria. the best. It's still my favorite, just because I just love everything about that episode. But this one, man, like there's just some stuff going on.
Oh.
And Moriarty's such a great villain.
He really is.
He just plays him so over the top, but at the same time, you know he's a genius, even though he is completely bonkers.
Oh yeah, it's great to see like
honey,
the
seeing the crown.
Yeah, it just, oh, it was so good. It just, that guy even still reminded me more, and I know you haven't seen it yet, but how the Master operates on Doctor Who. It just kind of also makes me scream how similar this is to Doctor Who episodes, even though this was not written nor directed by Stephen Moffat. Like, oh, it was so amazing. I hate the trope of my best friend died at the beginning of the episode. I hate that.
The beginning of what episode?
Of Reichenbach Fall. He's talking to, Watson is talking to a therapist, and my best friend Sherlock Holmes is dead. I hate that.
I don't remember that at all, but that's okay.
It's literally the first 2 minutes of the show.
But that's the next episode, isn't it?
No, that's the Reichenbach Fall.
You sure?
Yes. I just rewatched it Saturday, yes.
Very skip ahead.
No.
Because I just want to watch the first episode of season 3, and I'm pretty sure that's how it begins.
No, and even, like, I'm just double-checking because
I don't remember that.
Here, hold on. Even, like, Wikipedia says it right at the beginning. It says, Watson is talking to a friend of it, or to a therapist, saying, my best friend Sherlock Holmes is dead. That's the exact quote. My best friend Sherlock Holmes is dead.
Oh, okay. I believe you. I just don't remember that at all. been a while since I watched that one.
I love Moriarty as like a mad hacker and also an extremely Sherlock level intelligent. I loved that. I love the fact that he tied, like all of the villains tied directly into him. It was just so good. I can't, it's hard to put into words how good this was. And I still think like you, I kind of like... All right, and we're back. It's going to be weird for me to piece together on the MP3, but sorry about that.
Oh, that stopped. That's
yeah,
no good.
That was weird. I looked at the audio levels really quick. I'm like, huh, oops. It didn't stop recently. It stopped recently, so not a big deal. So, yeah, it's hard for me if you, like, just the, man, just so hard to put into words. That how much I enjoyed this episode and how much I enjoyed this series. I haven't gotten around to watching series 3 yet just because it's been so crazy as of late. I do like the fact that season 3 can be split into mini episodes, at least the first episode, and I'm good with that.
How do you figure?
Well, it even says that in the little mini, it kind of breaks it into mini episodes of the many happy returns and
and
the empty hearse. So I like that, where it's not, you don't have to pull it into those giant ones. And again, I haven't done anything with it, so I don't know what's going to happen with it. I did see today that Watson has been cast for Age of Ultron.
What?
Yeah.
Age of Ultron,
Civil War.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
What was he, who's he going to be?
They haven't revealed that yet, but Martin Freeman is going to be in Civil War. Yeah, I don't know who he's going to be yet. I can't picture a character, whatever character, and considering Civil War is going to be this massive overarching thing, I don't know who he can possibly be. But I'm glad he's there.
Oh, yeah. I want all my Martin Freeman all the time.
Yeah.
Like, once we're done with spoiler show and all that stuff, I fully intend to watch Fargo. Just for Martin Freeman, if nothing else.
Fair enough. I might watch it, too. I don't know yet.
I also love the movie Fargo, so I've been wanting to watch the show forever. But
I didn't hate Fargo. I just didn't.
Heck do you mean?
I just didn't particularly like it.
I love Fargo.
It might have been a
just
at the time
right
thing.
Mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If I choose to go down that road, I'll rewatch the movie before I go and watch the series.
I've watched it a couple of times.
All right, so we are now at an hour. Let's go ahead and wrap this baby up. If you want to contact the show, get a hold of us at geekioshow@gmail.com.
How do you spell that?
GEEKIOSHOW @gmail.com. Twitter and Facebook is at geekioshow. You can call us once again at 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. Website which has all of the everything on it is geek-io.net/spoilershow. And to help support this and every other show on the network, go over to Patreon, patreon.com/geekio. short title list this week, but what do we got?
There's a shorter title list. I guess we just got too into the Daredevil talk to make any titles. Let's see. We got proper vocal check. I said it right that time. So many Sonic references, Loki Pokey Stick, and my notes.
All right. So on that note, folks, we are going to go ahead and head off into the wild blue yonder or something. Anything else before we head on out of here?
There are no strings on me.
Exactly.
Andrew Allen, like that.
Take us out. See you next week, folks. Bye.
And go, Andrew Allen.
This has been a Geek.io production. Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek and Geek.io.